This is Hour 2 of Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Happy weekend, everybody. Hope it's a great one wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And I'm glad that part of what you're doing is joining me right here for some of the greatest music of all time. Well, today we have a sentimental showcase. Yeah, we have songs that have sentimental in the title. And for the countdown today, we've gone back to the fourth weekend of June in 1959. And a few notes from early summer of 66 years ago. Well, the Barbie doll is a new sensation. She made her debut in March. Most Americans are now buying their groceries at the supermarket. 69% of all food sales are coming from the supermarkets, even though they make up only 11% of the total stores. On April 25th, the St. Lawrence Seaway, linking the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, officially opens to shipping. And on June 3rd, the U.S. Air Force Academy graduates its first class, with 207 students commissioned as officers. And on the Billboard Hot 100 this weekend, coming in at number 29, is a golden oldie from Tommy Edwards.
Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be. All your fears are foolish fancies, maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too.
R&B artist Tommy Edwards had his fifth top 40 hit with a song that dated back to 1912, My Melancholy Baby. He was accompanied by the Leroy Holmes Orchestra, and the record was at number 29 this weekend. Well, it is summertime here in 1959. School's out. It's vacation time. And on the warm summer nights, we go cruise around town. And one of the most popular new cars is the Volkswagen. Sales have reached 120,000. I don't think Detroit hasn't noticed. The Ford Falcon is the first major American response to the competition from the Bug and other foreign compact cars. Chevrolet jumps in to market a rear-engine Corvair compact. And American Motors gets in on the act, introducing the 14-foot 10-inch Rambler. And Japanese cars are increasing in numbers. They've produced 79,000 automobiles this year. Most are Datsuns and Toyotas. And those who are looking to buy a new car this year, the wholesale price in the USA is $1,880. Now, if you're a car company, you need a good ad campaign or a popular spokesperson. Chevrolet had one of the biggest in Dinah Shore.
We said it before, we'll say it again, for it's even truer now than then. Chevrolet is the one that proves the fun, the fun, the fun is in the going.
Come rain or shine or snowing, the fun is in the going, in the slim line, fresh and fine Chevy.
And the fun keeps growing as mile by mile. Your Chevy shows the fun is in the going.
Chevy.
Chevrolet is really swinging. In a Chevy, you just can't help singing. Here's a car, there's zipping, singing. Oh, what fun for traveling in!
And now, get this, the fun is in the knowing, the fun is in the going. So why don't you get going?
Come on in and try a new Chevy. For it's such fun knowing the fun that's yours. Chevrolet's the way that you are going.
Every Sunday night at 9 o'clock on NBC TV, Dinah Shore had the Chevy Show. Well, let's get back to the countdown from this weekend in 59. Holding position number 23 on the Hot 100 is Brooke Benton, Endlessly.
Higher than the highest mountain, and deeper than the deepest sea. That's how I will love you. Oh, darling, endlessly. Softer than the gentle breezes, and stronger than the wild oak tree. That's how I will hold you, oh darling, endlessly. Oh my love, you are my heaven, you are my kingdom, you are my crown. To surround, faithful as the morning sunrise, and sacred as a love can be. That's how I will love you, oh darling, endlessly.
Darling, 28-year-old South Carolina native Brooke Benton, Endlessly. The follow-up to his million seller from earlier this year, It's Just a Matter of Time. Endlessly was at number 23 this week, on its way down after peaking at number 12. Today we've gone back to the end of June in 1959. And now it's time for sports. In golf at the U.S. Open, Billy Casper bogeyed 3 of the last 8 holes and finished at 2 over par, but that was good enough to win, one shot better than Bob Rosberg. In tennis, Briton Christine Truman became the youngest woman to win the French Open. She's only 18. The men's title went to Italian Nicola Petrangeli. Auto racing, Roger Ward took the Indianapolis 500. The Boston Celtics are NBA champions. They beat the Minneapolis Lakers 4-0. The league's MVP this year was St. Louis's Bob Pettit. The top rookie, the Lakers' Elgin Baylor. In the NHL, Montreal won its 4th straight Stanley Cup, beating Toronto 4-1. There's a buzz in boxing this weekend because on Friday night, Ingemar Johansson became the new heavyweight champion. He TKO'd Floyd Patterson in the 3rd round at Yankee Stadium. And finally, to baseball this weekend. In the American League, Cleveland's on top of the White Sox by a game. Then it's the Orioles back 2.5, 3.5 for Detroit, and 4 for the Yankees. In the National League, the Braves are up a game on the Dodgers, 2 on the Giants, and Pittsburgh is 5 behind. And the Pirates are in the race because of reliever Elroy Face. His specialty forkball has already produced 10 wins and 4 saves. But by season's end, it would be the Dodgers and White Sox winning the pennant, with LA winning the World Series in 6 games. On the field this weekend, Sunday, the Phil's Wally Post becomes the only player in baseball history to twice throw out 2 runners from the outfield in 1 inning. On Saturday, Hank Aaron became the first unanimous All-Star selection. Last Sunday, Hammer and Hank hit 3 2-run home runs at Seals Stadium to power the Braves to a 13-3 win over the Giants, the only 3-homer game of Aaron's career. On June 10th, the Indians' Rocky Colavito hits 4 consecutive home runs in Baltimore, becoming only the 3rd player to do that. And on May 26th, a spectacular pitching performance that went for naught. Harvey Haddix of the Pirates pitched a perfect game against Milwaukee for 12 innings, only to lose the game in the 13th.
Felix Mantilla reached on an error to start the inning.
After a sacrifice and intentional walk to Hank Aaron, Joe Adcock blasted one out of the park to right center field. Aaron was so excited he left the base paths, and Adcock passed him. Both were called out, but Mantilla scored, and it went in the books as a 1-0 game. Lou Burdett went all 13 innings for the Braves, giving up 12 hits. Making Haddix's effort even more remarkable was the fact that the Braves hitters knew what was coming. In 1993, Bob Buell admitted that the Braves pitchers were stealing signs from catcher Smokey Burgess. They signaled batters with a towel in the bullpen. And that's a look at sports from this weekend in 1959. And we head back to the countdown for record number 12. Here's the Frank Porcel Orchestra. Frank Porcel was considered by many around the world as the inventor of lounge and easy-listening music. But that was his only American hit, Only You. Listed on the label as Frank Porcel's French Fiddles. And it was at number 12 this weekend after reaching number 9. Well, here's a bonus hit from this weekend in 1959. It's the latest from Nat King Cole. He flips back the songbook a few years and pulls out You Made Me Love You.
You made me love. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me want you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times you made me feel so bad. You made me sigh for. I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I want some love. That's true, yes I do, indeed I do, you know I do. Give me what I cry for,
know you got the brand of kisses that I die for. You know you made me love you. Give me what I cry for. You know you got the brand of kisses that I die for. You know you made me love you.
That's 40-year-old Nat King Cole, accompanied by the Nelson Riddle Orchestra, You Made Me Love You, a song that dates back to 1913. Nat's recording was at number 58 this weekend after reaching spot 45. We're listening to the memories of late June 1959.
Today on Seems Like Old Times, we're studying sentimental songs. I've got a batch of records that have sentimental in the title. And I'm sure this is one you thought of, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You. And like many of these tunes, they've been done by everybody over the years. You know how the Tommy Dorsey version goes, but how about this fun arrangement by Nelson Riddle in the style of his big hit, Lisbon Antigua? Thank you.
Yeah, Nelson Riddle and his orchestra, a la Lisbon Antigua. I'm getting sentimental over you. He recorded that in 1958. Well, speaking of Tommy Dorsey, he plays on this next sentimental song, backing up the Boswell sisters on Sentimental Gentleman from Georgia.
When it comes to loving, he's a real professor. Yes, just amazing Dixie Valentine.
Oh, see those Georgia peaches hanging round him now. Cause what this baby teaches, nobody knows just how.
Sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia, gentle to the ladies all the time. Hey, hey, no doubt you've heard about the sweetest man in Dixieland. I'll say he's hot, he's got just what it takes to make a lady's man.
He's just a sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia, gentle to the ladies all the time.
He's gentle to the ladies all the time.
When it comes to loving, he's a real professor. Yes, sir. Just amazing Dixie Valentine,
Boswell Sisters from 1932, Sentimental Gentleman from Georgia. They were accompanied, as I mentioned, by Tommy Dorsey on trombone. Jimmy Dorsey played clarinet and alto sax, Manny Klein on the trumpet. And of course, the sisters were Connie, Vette, and Martha, who also played the piano there. We're on the sentimental side today, and that is a song title as well, done here by Susie Arioli.
If you're wondering why I'm near you, even though I've been denied, I'm inclined to be a little on the sentimental side. I suppose I should forget you if I had an ounce of pride, but I guess I can't help the sentimental side. I should act gay, laugh it off and say farewell, say it's all good and well, well, but I'm not that way. I'm in hopes you be satisfied with a simple sort of person perhaps be satisfied with a simple sort of person.
One of our longtime favorite modern day singers, Susie Arioli, with a guitar by Jordan Officer on the sentimental side. A song written in the late 30s by Jimmy Monaco and Johnny Burke, with popular recordings done by Guy Lombardo, Bing Crosby, and Billie Holiday. And Canadian songbird Susie Arioli and her band did that in 2004 for the album That's For Me. It's a study in the sentimental today on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, our stroll down memory lane has taken us back 66 years to June of 1959. Fashion this year was both experimental and practical. The waistline is the focal point, the silhouette is figure-defining, but still soft. Now the American look is influencing European designers too. Figures such as Queen Elizabeth and Mamie Eisenhower, who consistently wear the easy-becoming type of dress, with a neatly molded bodice and complete skirt. The shoes this year have spike heels and pointed toes, and green is the hot color. Add some Tony curls, a dab of Evening of Paris, and ladies, you're ready to go. And since you're all decked out, we'll go to the Tiki Lounge and hear Martin Denny. And he's at number 6 on the countdown this week with The Quiet Village. In 1955, Martin Denny started his combo in Honolulu. They played well-known melodies with a tropical feel. One evening, when they were playing at an outdoor bar, there were some frogs nearby that croaked along with the music.
So that inspired him to add the sounds of some local creatures to set a tropical mood. In 1957, he released an album of this music titled Exotica, which, by the way, was at number one on the album chart this weekend. And that single, The Quiet Village, is at number six.
Also today, our musical theme is sentimental songs. And the Duke Ellington piece, In a Sentimental Mood, has been done every which way you can think of. But we don't hear the original recording very often. Well, here it is, from 1935. Duke Ellington, In a Sentimental Mood. Recorded April 30th, 1935, Duke Ellington and his orchestra in a sentimental mood. Solos by Harry Carney on Barry Sax, Toby Hardwick on the alto, Rex Stewart on the cornet, and Lawrence Brown on the trombone. Well, next up, a Frank Lesser song that he wrote for the 1939 film Man About Town. That starred Jack Benny and Dorothy L'Amour. Of course, she sang a couple of songs, and this was one of them, that sentimental sandwich.
I'm hungry for something, but it seems so far away. That sentimental sandwich that we shared one day. You're hungry for something, nothing fancy, nothing new. One sentimental sandwich coming up. Gee, we were poor, and though fate has changed our scenery, gee, the
something, not for lobster, not for wine. That sentimental sandwich that was yours and mine.
Commercial recording of That Sentimental Sandwich by Dottie L'Amour, which she also sang in the 1939 motion picture Man About Town. It's a sentimental feeling today on Seems Like Old Times. We're putting the finishing touches on today's Seems Like Old Times, but still plenty to do, so a quick reminder about the webpage, oldtimesradio.com. Follow Seems Like Old Times on Facebook and Twitter, and the email is Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. And a programming note, next week be here for the celebration of our 1,000th show. All right, a couple of more sentimental songs. First, a Charlie Spivak transcription from the middle 40s with vocals by Jimmy Saunders.
Something sentimental, most everywhere I look, things we love together are in my memory book. When I look through them each night to review them, you seem to be just a dream's length from me. Something sentimental, a photograph or two, every note you wrote me, all signed with love from you. Hours we've embraced in, I've tenderly placed in one corner of my heart. My souvenirs of love surround me. They make me feel you're there. Although the only arms around me are those of my armchair. Parting's almost gentle, because you've left behind something sentimental that never slips my mind. Something to guide me till you're here beside me, never again to part.
guess I'll always be so in love with you. Don't know what to do, sentimental me. Dreaming just to live, living just to give all my life to you. No one else will do, sentimental me. Looking at the moon and wishing on a star on my honeymoon. I want to be where you are, darling, can't you see? This was meant to be. I'm in love with you, no one else will do, sentimental me.
That was the very first Top 10 for Ray Anthony's Orchestra from 1949, Sentimental Me. At the microphone was Ronnie Deauville. And before that, a radio transcription from the Charlie Spivak Band with Jimmy Saunders singing Something Sentimental. It has been Sentimental Things today on Seems Like Old Times. And now, we're up to the number one song in the USA from this weekend in 1959. But first, more news headlines. On June 9th, the USS George Washington is launched as the first submarine to carry ballistic missiles. In politics, New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller last week made a splash with D.C. Republicans in an appearance at the Capitol Hill Club. Many think that he could be the party's nominee for president next year. This past week, Queen Elizabeth II arrived in Newfoundland to begin a 45-day tour of Canada. It'll be the longest stay ever by a member of the monarchy, as she'll travel 15,000 miles and be seen by more than a million people. To the Caribbean, where a three-front revolutionary invasion by air and sea takes place in the Dominican Republic, consisting of exiles aided by Fidel Castro, whose purpose is to overthrow dictator Trujillo. Within a few days, all but four of the attackers are captured and executed. In China, there was a so-called election on April 27th to elect a successor to Mao Zedong. Yu Shouchi becomes chairman of the People's Republic, and it greatly helped his campaign that he was endorsed by Chairman Mao. It was last year that Liu first announced Mao's Great Leap Forward, which is leading to starvation this year. The country's leaders blame the weather, but mainly it's because of collectivization and a doubling of the nation's steel production. 100 million farmers have been taken off the land to run the steel mills, leaving women, children, and the elderly to harvest the crops. The increase in steel production will be negligible, but it's estimated the famine will result in 30 million dead. Well, back at home here in the USA, we keep getting closer to space. Earlier, we talked about the two monkeys that went into orbit. Well, 2 weeks ago, we had the first test of the X-15 rocket.
At Edwards Air Force Base, a B-52 mother plane carries aloft the X-15 rocket plane for another in the painstaking series of development tests, leading up to the epic mission for which it was designed. Carry a man beyond the fringes of the Earth's atmosphere and to return him to the ground. The X-15 is cut loose 7 miles over the Mojave Desert to fall free and glide back to Earth, testing the stability of the most radically different aerodynamic structure ever engineered. A craft designed to reach speeds of up to 4,000 miles an hour, to skim the upper limits of the world's blanket of air, and then to handle like a conventional plane in landing. In this powerless flight, pilot Scott Crossfield brings the X-15 down through the pre-planned glide pattern without a hitch. Space plane's first free flight is a success.
Ed Herlihy with the Universal Newsreel and the first test of the X-15 rocket with pilot Scott Crossfield. The flight lasted only 5 minutes, but man's getting closer to outer space. Here in June of 1959, one of the big news stories from 66 years ago. And the biggest record on the Billboard Hot 100 this weekend is a lighthearted song about war. Here's Johnny Horton and the Battle of New Orleans.
In 1859. 14, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales, didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise if we didn't fire our muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down, so we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind, and when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
The Battle of New Orleans, written by Jimmy Driftwood. In the 1930s, he was a high school history teacher in Arkansas, but he dabbled in songwriting too, and he wrote The Battle of New Orleans in 1936 to get his class interested in the subject. Well, over the years, he continued to sing and perform, and by the 50s, it became his full-time career. Now, the first album he recorded didn't do that well, but one of the songs, The Battle of New Orleans, was heard by Johnny Horton, and he got Driftwood's permission to record his own version, and it became one of the biggest records of all time. It spent 10 weeks at number one on the country chart and 6 weeks atop the Billboard Hot 100, including this weekend in 1959. And that's it for this week's show, everybody. We are all out of time. It's been great having you here, and I'll look forward to seeing you again next week. And until then, this is Craig Orndorff saying so long for Seems Like Old Times.